Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Hello and welcome. Ezekiel 20:28 says, "For when I had brought them into the land for which I lifted up my hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savory and poured out their drink offerings." It's what my finger turned to when I put it into the Bible today. So think about that as your day today, as you're going through your day. And welcome to the program. Today on the program, we're going to talk about some current news. I love Carly Fiorina and the way she's sticking it to the man. It's great. And I want to get into my thoughts on the start of their campaign for president, along with Ben Carson, and, you know, and even get into a little bit about Jeb Bush. You know, we all love the Bushes, don't we? Yes, we do. Well, my girl does. He'd be better than a Democrat, but he'd still be politics as usual. Also, I've had a couple young people come up to me and they said, "Well, I saw on the news there's like this 50th anniversary Grateful Dead concert in Chicago. What in the heck is up with, like, you know, because, like, they're young and they don't understand, like, they know, like, a Justin Bieber or, like, an NSYNC maybe if they're a little bit older. You know, and some of these groups, their longevity is not long. 50 years, what is it about the band?" And I thought I would try, because they'll probably listen to the archives, because that's usually what he said he does. I wanted to explain to him, so I'm going to probably do about 20 minutes on the Dead, just because I love him, and get away from the politics just for part of the show. And, you know, also, some new information coming forward in regards to Bin Laden. That much more. So thanks for tuning into the conversation. And I want to get right into that because from what I'm understanding, it's not that, okay, Bin Laden wasn't killed. Unless you believe that lady that was on the BBC where they edited it, where she said that Bin Laden was killed by Sheikh Mohammed, you know, this new evidence supposedly comes out that none of the Pakistani people didn't know we were invading, going in there to get Bin Laden. There was none of them involved in it, like they claim, and all this stuff, and what that really means. I mean, as long as Osama Bin Laden's dead, great. You know, as long as we did our job, I don't care. You know, I guess I look at it like people jumped out of the Twin Towers on 9/11, and we here we are with, you know, the Vice President Dick Cheney to ask questions about whether or not the U.S. waterboarded. We're questioning whether we can waterboard someone that helped put planes into a tower and kill thousands of Americans. Really, folks? Well, we can't enter. Okay, well, we're gonna go in there and ask them. Excuse me, Mr. Terrorist. Can you give us information on 9/11? No. Oh, okay. Thank you. I gotta go because, you know, we can't be too rough on you. Because, Lord forbid, you know, you kill Americans and we can't, I'm sorry, just, when you lose someone on 9/11, it just really infuriates you. Because you want answers and I don't know if I'll ever have answers. Because I can tell you for one thing, from what I've seen, no way a commercial airliner went into the Pentagon. So what happened at the Pentagon, you know? And I just don't know. And now when we go to the Garland, Texas incident, there's evidence now that Obama's FBI knew that these had photos of one of the guys, I don't know if it's both, but at least one of them, that was planning on doing something at that event. And we don't know if the information was withheld, never given to anyone in Garland, Texas, or if they had it or not, but luckily the two cops that were there took care of the situation. You know, don't mess with Texas, you know. What is it, like an 85%, you know, conceal and carry rate that those people have? You know, and you're going to go try to do something. I guess they claim, one of the Sheikh clerics said that, you know, whatever. He's like, well, you know what? This is just to prove that we are not afraid to die for our cause. No. Well, since they did that skit making fun of Muhammad on Saturday Night Live, why don't you just go to NBC and kill all those liberals? And maybe they'll wake up. Maybe they'll... Wow. What's going on? So, maybe. I don't know. It makes you wonder. It really does. It really makes you wonder, because they had a... It's like a MSR TV has a thing where, like, they'll go around and they'll ask questions. And I guess one of these things, they went around and they asked Hillary supporters, that they were showing Hillary supporters some of the things that she's done, and they're shocked and all this. And I'm like, really? Most of the people I've met are voting for Hillary, because I'm proud of this. I've been banned from one of the websites that, because it was like Hillary supporting, you know, like gay marriage for everyone. I'm like, well, actually, in 2000, she was adamantly against gay marriage. And in 2008, her and Barack Obama both were voting in support of same-sex unions, like I've kind of talked about. A marriage is between a man and a woman. I'm not against gay marriage. Call it something different so that you have something special. So that when people hear that term, they know you're talking about two guys or two women. I have bi friends, gay friends, transgender friends. I love them to death. And some of them actually want it called something different, just because they want it to be special for them, because he's a guy wanting to be with this guy and she's a girl wanting to be with this girl. And, you know, and in 2008, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama ran on same-sex unions, not marriage. Well, you know, it's okay for them to change their opinion, but Republican doesn't, Lord help you. They want to be hung. So like Carly Fiorina, every time they're trying to take a big cow dung and throw it in her face, she grabs it and throws it right back at him. You know, you take Seth Meyers and Chuck Todd, it's great, because somebody took Carly Fiorina's name and they bought the domain of it. And they put all this stuff, negative stuff about Hewlett Packard and how her stock, how the company stock went down 50% and all this crap. And so she bought Seth Meyers's and now Chuck Todd's domain names and done the same type of stuff. And you know what? If I was Carly Fiorina, I'd be like, well, you know what? Yeah, the stock did go down 50% at Hewlett Packard, but you know what? At least I'm willing to admit it. What? I'd love to see Hillary Clinton be on here and you ask her the same questions and she said, yeah, I did delete these emails. Yeah, I want to apologize because I did allow 4 Americans to die in Benghazi. I'd love to see her do that. Then at least I know she's honest. I don't agree with her, but at least she'd be honest. You know, I guess when I talk about it later, I guess that's why we love the dead so much, because they were what they said they were. They were they were 2 hours of honesty every night in a world of BS. But it's just ridiculous. You know, that, but I love the way she's not letting the liberal media off the hook. She's throwing it right back in the state media's face, you know, say, hey, you know, this is what's going on. And I applaud that, like, news where they're trying to get people's reaction to, you know, Hillary supporters. Well, this is information about her, you know. And try to, because that's the hardest thing. How do you get someone that's going to vote for Hillary no matter what, never change their mind? How do you get them to see a Ben Carson? How do you get them to see a Carly Fiorina or anybody else? My mind ain't made up. My mind will be made up when I go to vote on November 4th in 16. Okay, let me see who I can vote for. Let me see who I like. I've seen all this stuff. I've seen all the negatives, all the positives. Now I can, okay, this is who I like. This is who I want to go for. Yes, because they really can't find anything on Ben Carson, and I think that just irritates the heck out of the liberal media. But they'll find a parking ticket or something that he forgot to pay, and then they'll make it out like he started the Civil War, you know. It's what liberals do. They don't have anything to stand on. They don't have a leg to stand on, so they have to sit there. It's like Dana. She does a radio show, and I listen to her off and on, and she does a segment where, like, once a week, she'll take these liberal comments that make no utter sense whatsoever, and she'll talk about them on air and make money off of them, and then she'll buy stuff that liberals hate. Oh, look at this. This is a Walter PP38, you know, rifle. I didn't hear, or a pistol, or, you know, I bought this with the money from this segment of the show. You know, and I got like 1,000 rounds of ammo to go with it, too. You know, if a liberal can say, this is my viewpoint, this is why I say what I say, this is why I stand by why I say what I say, then okay, then we have that. Then I can, okay, yeah, I can at least, like, with Malcolm, you know, hey, yeah, but when you have, okay, here's the truth, here's video of Bigfoot, here's hair samples, they've been tested by 4 different labs, and they all come up as, we have no, this hair belongs to no known primate, no human, no animal, no, nothing on this planet this hair belongs to. This is a new species, and here's video. It's not synthetic. It's not a costume. You know, they won't believe you. I like the people that, well, I didn't know that. Well, it's good to know that, wow, she did that? Yeah. Bill did that. Hillary did that. Whoever, you know, Jed Bush did that. Whatever. There's a, trying to think of her name. Oh, wait, let me see if I can find this. But it's just crazy that people, yeah, here we go. But Indiana Senator Karen Tarina has announced that she'll run for governor. And if you don't know, she's the lady that introduced a medical marijuana bill into Indiana law. I support her for doing that, but if I don't support her on anything else, I wouldn't vote for her just because she wants medical marijuana, you know. That's great, and I hope it gets passed so we can use it who need it, but I'm not going to vote for her if that's the only thing I agree with her on. If she wants to bring unions 100% back, you know, to where, you know, if it's union run, you have to belong to the union. You don't have an option. No, I'm not going to support someone like that. Because I had all these Democrats, well, if it was a Republican, you know, supporting what you supported, you would be saying this. Or like, I would be, and I said, I wrote them back, I said, I'd be calling them out on what I like and what I don't like. You know, half of the people on here are voting for Hillary Clinton, period, no matter what. Doesn't matter. You're never going to change their mind. I mean, can they vote early? Because they'd vote right now. They'd vote for her right now. Why even have caucuses and everything for the Democratic Party? Half the people want Hillary Clinton as president, you know. What's Hillary's running mate? What's a running mate? You know, they won't know. You know, but you can't educate the uneducated, the people that think they know it all. I don't know it all. I just have an opinion. You like me or you don't. And I do get people from the left that listen. And it's, you know, they don't always agree. But what I've come to find out is we can always find common ground. And that's where we have to take it one step at a time. Okay, we all want ISIS gone, because one of my friends, he's very, 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 very liberal. From Toronto, Canada, very liberal, supports Obama and everything. He's like, well, I don't agree with the way he's handling ISIS. I'm like, he actually will call out a Democrat when he sees one, if there's something he does not like about them. And that's great, because he knows I'll go off on Bush. He at least knows that. He goes, yeah, I don't like you because you're a conservative per se, but at least you're open-minded to saying, hey, I don't like this about this guy, but I don't like this about that guy, and I like this about this person. And you're open-minded to, you know, you're not just like, well, I'm a conservative and I'm voting that way, I don't care. You know, okay, can I vote early because it's Jeb Bush all the way? You know, yeah, I don't have to know who his running mate is. I don't have to know anything about him. I don't want to know, you know. And that's how some people are, and that's sad. But I just love the way Carly Fiorina is just holding her own. Yeah, you know, it's great. She's not perfect, but who is? You know? You're going to say that her stock at Hewlett Packard went down 50%. Other people have done the same thing, you know, so like she said, you know, Katie Couric, a title is just a title. I mean, you're not impressed with my title, but I had a title, I was CEO. But you're taking people in politics and you're putting them on this pedestal. Sort of like, what is that movie? The 40-Year-Old Virgin? You're putting the female private part on a pedestal. Now, your thing is my thing. Come Friday, come Saturday, come Sunday, you're going to be drained. You know? They put all these politicians on a pedestal. The Democrats do, from the liberal media. The liberal media put all these Democrats on this pedestal. And Carly Fiorina is like, well, so what? You know, I'm as the CEO of Hewlett Packard, and you don't think highly of my title, you know, so what? Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. Whoop-de-doo. Didn't mean she did anything. And she probably, I know she didn't. And that's Bill Clinton. He'll probably admit she didn't do anything. That's why he had to go to Monica Lewinsky. You know, I mean, how hard is it to lock a door? I'm sorry, you know. Oh, well, but at least the people I've met, a lot of them, you're never going to change their minds. And that's the problem in this country. Probably 25 to 30% of the people that voted for Obama didn't know anything about him. They didn't know who his running mate was. That's, how do you, I don't know. I got into it with one guy because we used to have a company that ran the kitchen for a little bit. And when we did that, he's like, turn that bleeping radio off. And I'm like, never. And we got into it. He goes, I don't want to hear it. I'm like, since 9/11, that radio will never be off. I will never be without a radio ever since 9/11. I will turn it down, but never off. I want to know what's going on. And I won. I'm like, because I went in and I said, this is what, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I just, you know, I don't understand, whatever. Some people can't concentrate with music. A lot of people, like I learned when I do reading, which I don't do much, but when I read, I a lot of times listen to music because I can put music in, block out the music, and I can read. And what that does is the music blocks out all the background bullcrap. And when I block out all that, then I block out the music. Because there's times where I'll sit there back in the day when I had a tape cassette, like, click, and I just, like, instantly snap all up. Because I'd forget that I was listening to music. I was just reading. And then when the music stopped, I saw my you know, the subconscious listening to music. Finally, whoop, came to the conscious. I'm like, oh. And I'd flip it. But it blocked out everything so I could just read without being bothered with every little... Because I'm one of those weird people that looks like if a door opens, I want to see who's there. I got to look at every little sound I hear. And if I can block all that out, then, hey, I can read. You know, and... But I stand behind what I believe. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to, I always want to have a radio on or something in case, because of 9/11. That's me. So, just one of those things. How do you reach the, how do you, because Ben Carson's great. You know, Chloe Fiorina is, I think, would be good too. So would Ted Cruz, and so would, who is that guy? Marco Rubio. But how do you get someone that is steadfast, that doesn't know anything? How do you get someone that's going to, how do you get someone to vote for him or even open up? I don't know. I really don't know. Because Ben Carson's great, but if you get that 85% of the people, they're like, no, we couldn't. Yep, she's my president. Yep. If I could vote early, I'd vote for her right now. She hasn't even listed a running mate. So, maybe it'll be Bill. He was never vice president. He probably, I wonder if he could be vice president because he's never been vice president. Can't be president again. But, makes you wonder, it does, if he could be vice president. But something's got to change in this country big time, because now we're afraid of offending a Muslim in our own country. Well, when you have people that are saying that this person that did the Muhammad Kalan Kadesh, she needs to, the consequences under Sharia law and Sharia courts and all this, and like, we're in America. This happened in America. And this guy's like, well, this will be, you know, pretty soon we will live under Sharia law, not under my breath. I won't. I'll be dead before that happens because I'll be fighting for my freedom. And supposedly they claim they've battened down the military bases because they believe there's, if anyone says that they're, well, you actually believe that ISIS is going to attack America? They did in Garland, Texas, over a freedom of speech event. And Obama's admitted at least that it was an attempted terrorist attack. I can't believe I about had a heart attack. I was like getting on my pacemaker thing, you know, my little, okay, clear. Having to shock myself, man, just to wake up from the holy cow. He actually called it what it is. Great. Great to see someone call it like this, like it truly is for a change. And it took 6 years to get there, but, and like, I have to agree with Tom Brokaw. He was on Fox the other day, and he's like, well, you know, he goes, how do we defeat them? They're like an ideology, you know? They're like, it's not like a nation. You know, they have people all over the world. They're, okay, there might be 5 people here, 2 people there, 20 people there, and they're all willing to die for their cause. Because, like, if they die, they'll go up into heaven and get 40-year-old virgins or whatever, like 20 red-haired virgins or something. I forget what the heck it is. You know, that this is like a second life to them. It's practically, you know, so whatever have you. And how do you defeat something like that when they're all over? when every nation probably on this planet has people that support ISIS, that stand up for them. And I actually agree with Tom Brokaw. Hard to believe. But just because you're a liberal doesn't mean I'm not going to agree with you. I'm an American. So, it was just, like people ask me all the time, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? I'm like, something, anything. Stand up for what you believe in. If you say, this Hillary Clinton's a great person and I can show you why, bang, 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 great. At least you're backing up what you can say, you know? I believe in the Constitution. I believe in God and I believe in guns. That's what I stand for. I actually got into it with someone. I kind of a little switch topic, a little bit, but he's like, so you're against, because some people think I'm against gay marriage, because if you want to have a union, like if you want to give two gay guys or two lesbian women the same benefits as a married couple, but don't call it marriage, then you're against marriage. You're against gay marriage if you want to change the name of it. Even though I've known some gay people that want to have a different name. Call it something different. So, like, you can identify a man by this, a gay couple versus a lesbian couple, just by what they're, you know, the name, the term that they're given. You know, we're going, yeah, June 14th, we're having our union. Yeah, that's where we're going, and we're getting, you know. And what's funny about it is I was talking to this guy, and, you know, and I'm like, what about, you know, because we're talking about, like, if I want to, like, well, you can't, if you want to change the name of it, you're not supporting gay marriage. I'm like, dude, I have tons of bi friends. Don't even start. I have transgender friends, and they're cool as hell. But, you know, it's like, you need to wake up to this fact that it's not changing anything. And a lot of people actually want to not get married that are married. They're actually wanting to divorce for one reason, because, okay, well, we are on this healthcare plan, and our plan is based on our income. Well, if we divorce, we're going to have less income shown, so we'll get better benefits in our healthcare. We'll get better benefits in certain aspects of our relationship. So if we live together in the house and do everything like we normally do, the only thing is we're not legally governmentally married, we'll have better benefits. But because we're married, they combine our incomes and all this crap, and it's just, and I said, well, like I talked about last week, what stops anybody from seeing anyone in a hospital? Well, you know, my boyfriend is on his deathbed, and because I'm not immediate family, I can't be there. You want to bet if I had a boyfriend, I would be his brother. I would do whatever it takes to get into that hospital. And I'd want to know, why couldn't this stranger off the street who's not immediate family, why can't he go in there to pray for him? Hey, I found out this guy that's on the street, he's a preacher. You know, he goes street to street as a, you know, preaching the gospel. He went to Regent University, and he wants to come up and pray for my brother. What would stop? Why would he be stopped? But I guess in some hospitals, well, if I'm gay and I'm on my deathbed, my partner couldn't come visit me. You know, if I was on my deathbed and me and Melissa were just friends, she better say whatever she could to come up and see me. Yeah, this is my sister. Yep, it is. See, we got divorced. So we can, since she's from West Virginia, we can still be brother and sister. Joke. But anywho, you know, like I was talking about last week, because there was an article about a month ago I read where, you know, there's this one guy that's, you know, trying to make so that if I was gay or if this girl was lesbian, she could go visit her partner at the hospital on her deathbed Because at some points, I guess they only allow like immediate family, which, you know, and I'm like, so like the pastor who's not immediate family, or if I wanted to have a priest come give me my, you know, anointing of the sick, because I'm Catholic and do the anointing of the sick, he couldn't do that because he's not immediate family. Yes, he's father. Yes, he is. He's my father. Him every Sunday. How they get off on that tangent. But it's just, you know, it's like, why can't we just be there for people? Like I said with our troops, like last week, why can't we just be there? How hard is it to buy a drink? I did it at Starbucks a while. I just put $20 down and say, hey, you know, just buy people's drinks. But, you know, and the one person goes, what do I do? He gave me $20. Yeah, just the next, you know, however many people come in here, buy them drinks. And of course, that'd be funny if, like, the person right after me, yeah, I got an order. Oh, well, there's $20 off your huge order if you bought like 5 gallons of coffee or whatever. You know, but I do that once in a while. It's fun. Now we're gonna move on a little bit. And before I go into the dead, I'm gonna talk about my Manchester United, because I think they're in the Champions League, and they're where I think they should be. I mean, they beat Crystal Palace. I mean, they should have beat West Bromwich Albion, but I didn't talk about that. I'm not gonna talk about that. They lost. Welcome to the SportsCenter edition of Soccer. Manchester United lost against West Bromwich Albion, and that's all. I didn't want to talk about it. Oh, Lord help us. Lord help us. But you take a Manchester United, you know, I think they're where they should be. I mean, there are some players that don't. Like this one guy said, because I listen to Talk Sport a lot, because they carry all the games, and it's like, you know, the only thing I can say about. And I was agreeing with him. I mean, Myro Fellaini, he should have damn near be red carded every game. He gets so many fouls. Okay, and they finally had a foul counter, and it's up to like 12. That's 12. These are not like, well, do I think that's a foul? That was a foul. Point blank. That was a foul. And it wasn't, I don't even think he got a yellow card the one game. He's like, if I wasn't at work, I'd have called in. I'd have been like, because they have like a talk thing afterwards. And, you know, I'm a Manchester fan, but what? That's the only reason I like him. I mean, only if he scored more goals. But, you know, but what the heck? You know, what's he known for? Yeah, you know, what is that an attribute that you try to sell the guy if he wants to leave your football club? Oh, you don't have, that guy can damn near get a red card every game, but he doesn't. Oh, 14, 15, 16,000. He won't get a yellow card, let alone a red. Is that a selling point? Wow. You know. But on good news, Friday, no, it wasn't, no, it was Sunday night, my New York Red Bulls won the first derby against New York City Football Club. It's the first time they met, and hopefully it'll be a rivalry. Whatever comes of it, who knows? So I think it's going to be something cool that's going to evolve over time. And I got a message. I've gotten some messages, and some people like don't understand, because I guess today there really is no music group that people listen to that like has stay power, you know. Is Justin Bieber still even sane? I don't really know. I'm not really in with the new stuff. I know, I mean, like the newest thing I know is like Sean Kingston and the Dance Floor song. But, you know, I don't get the new music that much. And like I said earlier, you know, with all the BS in the world, the dead were like 2 hours of honesty, you know? Like they say, the Grateful Dead, you know, their music was a celebration of joy in that brief moment before of sunlight, before the darkness. And the Grateful Dead just didn't sing it, they lived it, you know. They didn't have signs up, you know, no pictures, no, they actually had a tape section so that their head, dead heads could get better quality sound. You know, there's usually three types of bands. One, like Rush, where they play, they may change up the last line, but for the most part, if you look up what their set list is, that's what they're going to play every night of every show on the tour. Then you have the other groups, like a Smashing Pumpkins, where they may, or Pearl Jam, where they may change up the set list. And Lord help me, but you know, Pearl Jam has like 4 or 5 set lists, and you know, some bands, and all. So, okay, let's do set list 5 tonight, because I know the fans really want to hear this song, so we'll play this we'll play set list 4 because it plays that song in it or whatever. Then you have like when I go to concerts, I'll ask like how they set up their shows, because I'm a deadhead, and like, oh yeah, no one did what they did. You know, they were their own entity. They did their own, you know, they did what no one else did. Like Mark Twain once noted, you know, we are all ignorant, but just about different things. And if you're like 40 years old, even if you didn't know, I mean, even if you weren't a fan, you knew of the band and the enormous following that they had. Because this guy's like, well, 50th anniversary? What the heck? And all this stuff. And, like, what's going on with these? Like, there was like a $1 million ticket or something. I think it was just this, like, someone did it just kind of like a joke. But I said, you know, even if you didn't know Jerry, you felt like you knew him. They lived by what they said they did. Their sets weren't cookie cutter 90-minute sets. Their sets lasted 3 and 4 hours, and they play on and off each other. And, you know, each song was played different, and each song was 15 to 20 minutes long. And, you know, it was a mix of rock, folk, bluegrass, and haunting lyrics. I mean, if you go to Ripple, you know, there is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men. And a lot of the music was about mortality and life and death, you know, just about like, you know, like Touch of Grey, you know, we will survive. And their music emanates because they were who they were. When you saw them, they were who they were. They didn't like, almost like be an act. Okay, now here's our 2 hours on the air, so we need to be this. You know, they supported Rainforest, they supported these campaigns, they'd do a show and donate money to this campaign or that campaign. They were formed in 1965, they were called the Warlocks, and I guess they found out somehow that somebody had a band name already called the Warlocks, and they switched it to the Grateful Dead when they're at dinner one time. Jerry came up with it, and it stuck. And they were amazing. Because there's two types of theories when it comes to music, because I'm on music. You know, like, okay, well, Led Zeppelin, as soon as John Bonham died, they couldn't go without John Bonham, it wouldn't be Led Zeppelin. You know, but with Bon Scott, when he was done, you know, is AC/DC still AC/DC, you know? When I knew Shannon Hoon, a blind nun, and when, you know, they've gone on, and it's still blind nun, to me, he was blind nun. Nothing against Glenn Graham, or Chris Tomlin, anyone else in the band. But he made, well, I guess I have that deadhead in me, okay? Where this guy said it best, he goes, I believe they could lose any of the members of the band and they would go on, but if Jerry died, that'd be it. You know, and they said, you know, we'll go on, and they've done their own thing, but when they did their own thing, you know, they were never the Grateful Dead. It's the other ones, or Life After Jerry, or, you know, the Dead, but they were never the Grateful Dead was when it was with Jerry Garcia. And, you know, to me, it's like, you know, without Shannon Hoon, it's not Blind Man. That's just how I view it. I mean, nothing against the band. I mean, Shannon was great. It wasn't until I saw, if you've ever seen it, The View from the Porcupine, like the documentary on the band and stuff. That's when I actually lost it, because that was the first time I saw him since he died alive. Freaked me out, but I never saw him as anybody. He was just a human being. I didn't, well, he was a letterman and all that stuff, and he was huge, but I didn't look at him like that. And Jerry Garcia, I don't think, looked at himself like that either, you know. I mean, you couldn't hitchhike, you can't ride the rails, you know, but you can go on a tour with the Dead and have those kind of adventures and do that kind of stuff. And I'm going to give you a little trivia question. What 1970 Grateful Dead song was banned from the radio for saying damn? I'll give the answer in a little bit. But what happened in 87 when Touch of Grey came out, and all of a sudden it was just like they had a hit, which they'd never had. This second entity came in, and all these people that, because like a true deadhead, oh, here, you dropped a $50 bill, you know. A cop tells you to jump, you do whatever the cop says. These new people weren't like that. It was at Deer Creek in 95 when those gate crashers did this thing. You know, this guy's like, well, my brother was one of the guys, he was minding his own business, and the cops started harassing him. I'm like, what do you mean by harass? If the cop tells you to get off the street or move, you just do it. I've been at Alpine Valley on the last row of the pavilion seats, and like there's a huge aisleway in the back that goes up to the steep hill where you go out to the parking lot to the venue. That's where they have their seating, you know, for the lawn seats. And I'm like, oh, cool, I can get out here and dance around. And I got up out of my seat when String Cheese started playing at a show there, and he's like, sit down. I'm like, yes, sir. And that's what a deadhead would have done. You know, these Trustafarians that just stepped in were giving the police something to be afraid of. You know, they weren't like, this is who we are. You know, your authority, we're not. You tell us to do something, we're going to do it. Basically. And it just totally ruined the scene. Because there were, you know, people would argue. You know, you had to watch your stuff. It just was. And then if you didn't have a ticket, you had no obligation to the band. You know, I really didn't want to be there if I didn't have a ticket. I always tried to get a ticket. That way I was an obligation. That way I'm there. I'm not just some bystander that has no ticket, no obligation, anything, you know. But you never knew what to expect. It was always like, it was like Christmas every night they played. You never knew what was going to happen. But then you can't live on heroin, hot dogs, and milkshakes, and unfiltered cigarettes. And that's not really healthy there, Jerry. And when he tried to get healthy, you know, his body just finally gave out. He just, I think, was shocked, honestly. Just couldn't handle the, you know. But it's just, And when you, but it was one of those things that when you went to a show, you didn't all believe the same things. You know, there were old people, young people, you know, liberals, conservatives, but when you got into the show, it didn't matter. And it wasn't like, and they I guess, they weren't a sellout. They did what they wanted. And this is what, you know, their music was a celebration of joy in the brief moment of sunlight before the darkness. And the Grateful Dead didn't just sing about it. They lived it. And it wasn't like, okay, well, you know, this is what the record company wants. They did what they wanted, you know? They were their own thing. Take it or leave it. You don't like what we're doing? And back in the day, you know, if you had a, like a general mission show, you know, people would line up a day before. You know, I'm gonna get there an hour before they let people in. Well, then people just took the, you know, the general mission seating thing to the extreme, and I'm gonna be the wolf. I'm gonna be there like 4 days before, you know, just so I can be the first one in. And then what we'll do is we'll just have like four of us wait in line, and two of us will leave, and two will come back, and two will go, and, you know. So like when Krispy Kreme came to Lafayette, when they had one here, and like the first person through the drive-thru and the first person through the front door gets like a dozen donuts for like a year, like a dozen donuts a week for a year or something. And somebody like parked their car in the drive-thru like a week before or something. Like as soon as they could put it there, they did. You know, and that's what, and then it just started from there. And then, well, we got like 200 people 2 days before the show just waiting in line to get in. What do we do? Okay, well, and then they, you know, they started providing, and they had like a little soup kitchen, and it just grew from there, and it's just really hard to explain. It's just something that they lived for what they stood for, and it wasn't like, okay, they weren't sellouts. They did what they wanted. They were going to sink or swim on what they believed, and they swam big time. You know, but then you have people that, like, almost, like, obsessed, like, well, Jerry's almost like a god and all this. And I guess you can kind of say that because God's created things, and he did create that huge scene, but, you know, he's not God per se. But, you know, people put, like, there are people that put, like, him on a pedestal, like Shannon Hearn, put him on a pedestal, and there are people that have come from, like, there was a lady, I think it was in 2008, that was at the vigil that, because it was 9/11, she had a hard time getting a passport to here, and she flew, like, all the way from, like, I forget, like a 12-hour plane flight to make it to the Hearn vigil that they have. And, like, where she's from, they just get, like, copies of CDs. So they don't actually get the CD. They'll get, like, if it's a Michael Jackson one, they'll get a they'll be able to buy burned copies. And it was one of those, and she never got to see them until the vigil, via photos and all this. And, you know, if I need to go think for a little bit or wonder what he would say or whatever, I can, you know, 15 minutes down the road in Dayton, Ohio, I can go visit him. You know, I couldn't imagine having a 12-hour plane flight, you know, to go to a vigil. You know, it's just a different era, I think, in music, because a lot of the music now is playing what's popular, what's in, you know, not, you know, I really couldn't put a genre on the Grateful Dead's music. I couldn't say what sounds like 60s music or 70s music or 80s music or what have you. So, but that answers his question, because it was, you know, he just wanted to know more about the band and why we like the music and into it and all this. And a question that I had, the answer, what 1970s Grateful Dead song was banned from the radio because it used the word damn. Actually, it wasn't damn, it was goddamn, and it was Uncle John's band. And, you know, that I think that kind of was the was where they played music that people, I think there was a lot of, well, why won't they play this on the air? And then they wanted to hear it, and then they got the album, and then you, and it just stirred this underground revolution because it was people, since you couldn't hear it, since a lot of the music never made the radio airwaves, it began a cult following. And the rest is history. So, I got about 7 minutes left in the show, and I want to thank you all for tuning in. But it's just, and like I've tried to explain to people, you had to have been there. And, you know, whenever, I guess music can speak to you. What does mean? Okay, I guess I can put in a Rush album and I can go instantly back to that place where I first heard that song. I relate to it because a lot of the music I listen to is not music per se. It's sort of like my version of rap. You know, rap tells a story, you know? Like, what is it? Flavor Flav of Public Enemy did a song called 911's a Joke, and it was a song he wrote because he's like, in some places, if you were black, 911 was known to, like, take their time to come, you know, and show up at, you know, basically, oh, you're not, you know, you don't really matter. Or, oh, he's an Asian, you know. Or if you're a white Caucasian, all up either like that, and that's what they, in some of these inner cities, you know, you're not worth it to society, so we're not going to hurry up to save you, basically, and you want to talk about it. And that music that I listen to is tells things, you know, like the Rush song, Half the World Hates What Half the World Is Every Day. You know, half the world gets on with it and does nothing, and the other half, you know, you have half of the people that complain about what's going on, and the other half that don't complain at all. But then half of the people that complain just, okay, yep, it's politics as usual, but I'm not going to do anything to change it. Whereas the other half is like, well, I want to try to affect change. I'm tired of the way this country's going. Where some people are like, well, I'm tired of the way this country's going, but it's never going to change, so why do I waste my breath? Yeah. And that, like the Grateful Dead and Rush and all that music, it has powerful meanings. I mean, they do a song called Hand Over Fist, and it's about papers, scissors, rock. Neil Peart is a great, amazing writer. It's hard for his wife and anyone to understand that when he's staring out the window, he's working because he's thinking about life. And when you can relate to a lot of what's going on in the music, I think it's very powerful. And especially when you go see a Grateful Dead show and you can sit there and close your eyes and everybody, if you saw a video of it, if they panned the camera over you and they show a video of it later, you'd all be doing the same thing, but you're not even aware of it because you're all into the music, you're all into the meaning. I think Shannon Hume always wanted people to, you know, stop for a second with what you're doing and listen to the lyrics, and hopefully you get something from it. You know, Jerry was never fond of his works. You know, it's not like he hoped his words survived. You know, he didn't know why it happened. He just did what he did, and this happened. They don't know why it happened. And I think he was always in awe. He was just, you could find him in a parking lot. He just was, he wanted to be like everyone else. And I think it's, you know, again, it's what's that generation of musicians apart, because a lot of those people back then, they were who they were. You know, the music was about what was going on in the world. It was about the wars and political and all these different things. And it had a message, and people could relate to what was in music. You know, it wasn't like, well, what the heck are they saying? No, I don't. Okay, I'm going to have to get the lyrics on this. Okay, is that in English? And some of that new stuff on the radio, I can't begin to tell you what they're saying. Maybe I don't want to know. Maybe it's God's way of saying, you don't need to know, son. He's usually right, but about 2 minutes left in the program. And thanks for tuning in, all. And I hope this gives some of the people insight to why they like the band so much. And like I have on the back of my shirt, you know, when I die, bury me deep, play some speakers at my feet, put a stereo near my head, and always remember to play the dead. And that's the sign of good parenting, when you find the Grateful Dead on your kid's iPod. But it's non-generational music, like I was saying. It's just one of those things that you can't really put a genre on. You can't say, well, that's... Like, if you played it for a kid now, they probably couldn't tell you what year, what era it came from, like the 80s or 70s, because it was just a mix of rock and folk and bluegrass and all this stuff. And, you know, and since I love all, I grew up in the eclectic area where you listen to anything as long as it's good, and Jerry was an amazing guitarist. You know, and I'm actually trying to learn the guitar, because just to branch out from playing, you know, pots and pans and drums. So, but I hope that answers his question. 60 seconds left, and I thank you all for tuning in. You know, just keep going forward. Just keep doing something. You know, we're affecting change. Ben Carson's getting his name out there. Just try to educate the people that are mindset that, you know, say, hey, this is what we need to do. And we need to get people that probably won't know who Hillary Clinton's running mate is, who's running, let them know what she really stands for. If they leave you, they do. If they don't, move on. Yeah? It's all we can do. So, until next week, folks, I want to thank you all for tuning in. God bless you all, and have a great day. Take care.